The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Take it out. Why, yeah. Let's do it, y'all. Uh-huh. Tonight the mood is right. Gal them looks so nice. He by playing this sweet down music. Say the people can't refuse it. Outside in the open air, holding my baby, you're so near. With one hand in her hand and one arm around the waist, we have enough
party in the backyard.
Oh yeah,
party all night long.
We're gonna
break and scrape until the morning come.
We're gonna
party till the break of dawn.
Yes, man. Party, party. Oh yeah.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Friday, the 14th of June, 2024. That means it's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. Eric Sawyer III is going to be joining us via Zoom or telephone line in a moment. We've got NBA playoffs on deck to talk about today. I am stunned. I am shooketh. Did the Celtics stand 3-0 against the Mavericks? I imagine everybody is stunned at this affair, but we're going to get to that later in the show. I've got lots of local sports news, but we got two main topics today. The first is Road to Paris.
Yes.
And the second is basketball, everything basketball. Plus, we got some other local news stories in there we have to highlight. But I have a guest joining me this morning. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Demarius Cash. I'm with the B3As. That's the governing body for track and field, and I'm in charge of special events dealing with competition. So all the competition, Grifter Trials, Olympic Trials, Road to Paris, I oversee all of that.
Right, and then we have the, I want to get this right, it is coming up, the Nationals, right?
Yes.
It is a 17... word title for the event. I have it written down somewhere, but it's the encompass kids.
Yes.
Primary, juniors, seniors, nationals coming up.
Yes. The interesting thing about it, when we're sitting at the table, we just wanted to put some invitational events in there with involving the young kids.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, from 7 all the way up to 15, 17, even though they don't have a trials coming up. So we just put some.
Right, but no, I think this is that's extremely important, right? Mm-hmm. And that's about growing a professional athletics culture.
Yes.
I got a story here with our Junkanoo boys. I'm a little disappointed with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that we have not created the soccer culture that most other countries have created. And we don't necessarily understand that it's that soccer culture that drives athletes to the top, the world stage.
Yes.
Some of these kids are playing soccer from 2 years old. Not just playing with a ball. They're doing drills with their parents, with their coaches from 2 years old. And so it's wonderful to see the athletics space expand and evolve to continue to entrench that culture and ensure that we capture in the talent.
Exactly.
At the youngest ages.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So I found it here. We're getting ready for the Bahamas Association of Athletic Associations, Kids Athletics, and Junior and Senior National Championships.
Yes.
Right. And is that the last stop on the road to Paris for Bahamian track and field athletes?
Yeah, that's the last stop because here's the ideal thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Every athlete has to qualify before June 30th, 2024.
Okay.
I think it's midnight on June 30th, 2024,
mm-hmm.
that's it. That's the cutoff.
Right.
And then after that, they start forming up Olympic races.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And then you get persons who, you know, who might be injured. They'll knock themselves out and stuff like that. So they start contacting the federations, like the B3As, mm-hmm. who's competing, start registering the athletes. So June 30th is the last day. And it's so interesting that our nationals is on the 26th, which is Wednesday, mm-hmm. 27th Thursday, 28th Friday. And we, after that, you only have one day. And persons, you know, the national trials is mandatory for all athletes if they want to go on the road to Paris.
For Team Bahamas?
Yeah, Team Bahamas.
Now, I have to compete in a sanctioned national event for my time to be a qualifying time, right?
Yes. You have to compete in that event. And then also, you have to come in the, because, you know, at Olympics, there's a qualifying time.
Right.
So let's say, for example, you had 100 or 200 meters, they'll have a time, ladies, males, have a time, individual time. And then if you run that time and you're in the top three, you get to represent the country.
Okay. Now, a number of our athletes have been hitting qualifying times in international competitions.
Yes.
Now, collegiate athletes have been qualifying for the Olympics, but participating in their collegiate meets, right?
Exactly.
And that's legit.
Mm-hmm.
That's legit. Awesome.
Because there's two ways you could qualify.
Right.
For an individual event, it's through the automatic time. They call it the auto time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for example, for the 100 meters, it's 10 flat.
Right. Okay.
So if you hit that auto time, come to nationals and come in the top three, you go to Olympics.
Okay.
And then you have by ranking. So 50% of the field, they're entered in by either auto time or ranking.
Okay.
And that ranking comes into play based on the high level meets you run in terms of, you know, you see all these meets in Europe and stuff like that. They started something about 5 years ago, which involved points. So athletes could run at Diamond League meets and all that and get points. So in case they don't hit the auto time,
Put them on the road to Paris.
Yeah, on the road to Paris, yes.
And I love that, right? I love that, that we understand how, when we say road to Paris, we understand that all of these local things are extremely important,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we don't put prestige on them because they're local, but for athletes, this is the road to Paris, and it's very important.
Yes, exactly. And for example, if you take on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
we have an interesting race where we have 300-meter hurdlers.
Mm-hmm.
They already qualified for Olympics. But we have hurdlers behind them who are also running. So this is going to be a very interesting race
because
mm-hmm. we have the world record holder indoor, Devin Charlton.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Denisha Cartwright, who are also qualifying. Then we have Charisma Taylor. So we're going to set up this race in terms of they have two challenges at it where they have a heats and a final.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, even though you have three, you have ladies behind them who could also hit that auto.
Right.
And you don't know what could happen in track and field. It's just like football.
Right. Anything could happen.
Any given Sunday.
Yeah.
So you have to prep yourself in terms of getting prepared for it, knowing the race is very hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you have three qualifiers.
Now, our phenom, Grand Bahama, I think Baptist Tabernacle, Shania. Who
yes.
ran the mixed relay, participated in hitting that qualifying time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an automatic that she will be on the team. What does she have to do to ensure that she will be on that team?
Should this be a Marshawn Lynch answer?
Uh-huh. No. Eric isn't here.
That's above my pay grade. But and like anything,
mm-hmm.
everyone has to compete at nationals.
All right, so she needs to come out to nationals.
Well, yeah, she did very well helping us qualify for the mixed relay. And even in terms of that, let's say, for example, the mixed relay. The Bahamas, we qualify for it, so you have, you could field three females, three males.
Okay.
But then when you go to check in, you know, the last final thing, you only could have five.
Okay.
Whereas only one.
One reserve.
But you could take six.
Okay.
So even that's going to be interesting in terms of...
And so she may not go... It's not that she's being snubbed, right? It's not that she's being snubbed.
No, and
She just has to hit the times. Like, that's a qualifier, but you still have to keep competing.
Yeah, I don't want to divert from your question, but it isn't that she would not go. It's just that it's up to the...
The management to determine
how the team will make up.
All right.
But again, is that asterisk anywhere... she has to compete at the nationals.
Right. No, and I think we get it, right? I get it. I may have qualified to get to this point, but if somebody comes and outperforms me, they outperform me.
Yes, and that's track and field.
Yeah.
Who shows up on, that's why we like to do head-to-head competition.
Okay.
Head-to-head competition is very good. You get to see who could fall under pressure, who could make it on pressure.
All right.
And some athletes, you know.
So I have this story here. Charlton's World Indoor Record Rad Athletics. It's a Guardian story. Charlton is killing the hurdles.
Yes.
But she's also 60-meter hurdles, and she's transitioned to the 100-meter hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
So she's an indoor record holder for 60-meter. She's transitioned to the 100-meter hurdles. How many? I want to run all the races.
Yeah.
Right? Because I say if you could run 60, you could run 100. If you could run 100, you could run 200.
Mm.
But for athletes, how do they choose? Like, so, you know, Shawn A has had that challenge, choosing between the 2 and the 4, which one to, like, focus on. For Devin, the 100-meter hurdles, the 60-meter hurdles. How is the decision made? Is it the athlete and the coaching team?
Well, for Devin, is very easy because as you transition from indoor to outdoor, they don't provide the 60-meter hurdles outdoor.
Okay.
So the 100-meter hurdles
is the automatic. That's where you're going to go.
That's where you're going to go. And then she's also ranked number one in the world. See, people don't realize that she's ranked number one in the world based on points and everything. So Devin is very, 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 very focused this year. And like I say, that race should be very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And even at Olympics, it should be very exciting. So we just have to set the environment. That's why we want all the fans to come out on these days to get the environment set.
To bring that energy athletes need to turn that engine over. So we have three women who have qualified. They're on the road to Paris, 60-meter hurdles.
No, 100-meter hurdles.
100-meter hurdles, right? Three women.
Mm-hmm.
Denisha Cartwright.
Yes.
Devin and...
Charisma Taylor.
Charisma.
And the interesting thing about Charisma,
uh-huh.
what people don't realize, Charisma is also top rank. Triple jumper. So she's in the top, I'd say, 20 in the world. So she's very talented in terms of both triple jump outdoors and 100-meter hurdles outdoors.
Wow. Okay. What's the likelihood that we'll get all three of our hurdlers in the race?
They just have to come top three.
And then they'll be in.
And then they'll be in the race and they'll be in the heats.
So we could have, this year, we could have three Bahamians in one race.
Yeah.
Potential is there. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's awesome.
We can have three Bahamians, and then we also have, you know, Mr. Gardner,
right.
Former Olympic champion.
Shawn A.
Coming to do his title, Shawn A. And you have other persons like Alonzo Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the college kids like Terrence Jones.
Yeah.
Wanya McCoy.
Wanya,
so the 100,
Wanya.
Yeah, Wanya McCoy. So the 100 will be, you know, very stock. Former collegiate athletes like Samson Colebrook.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys will be vying for a sport on this Road to Paris team, this Olympic team.
Absolutely. So Wanye is an interesting story. He was the basketball player first, right?
Yes, at Queens College.
Phenomenal basketball player. And then somebody saw those legs and say, look here, you're wasting the speed on this basketball court. How many of our athletes are multidisciplinary and have to make that decision every season what they're going to focus on? Or is that multi-discipline athlete what we're looking for, and that brings an extra level of performance?
Well, don't forget now, even before 1 year, we had Donald Thomas.
Right.
Because Donald, it was so interesting about Donald, he went to college on a basketball scholarship.
As well.
And he was seen by coaches, and he got a scholarship to Auburn, you know the story, and he became the world champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even competing, so I think athletes, in terms of when it comes to vertical and horizontal jumps, a sprinter, that decision might be tough, but a vertical horizontal jumper who has that height, vertical jumps, they might have a tough decision.
Yeah.
And like I say, like Donald, he ran the other route where he went, represented the country in high jump.
Okay, yeah.
And we have a few other athletes, you know, throughout the history who we've seen make that transition.
Absolutely. See, because now, in this moment, there's a lot of tension around it, right? Because now we have a team, men's basketball team, who's also on the road to Paris.
Yes, they're on the road to Paris.
Right? And so I imagine that, like, this is the good excitement. Mm-hmm. This is the good tension, right? Where, oh man, we could be, you can see an opportunity on basketball and track and field.
Yes. And then, for example, we even have, we might have 99% chance we might have our first decathlon.
Right.
Who's got Ken Mullings.
Yes, yes.
That's another name to look out forward to inside Paris, France.
Right.
And the BOC has a good problem where they're defying, where you have athletes now stepping up to the plate,
mm-hmm.
getting ready to make these teams. And it's a good problem.
Yeah.
To have, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. A great problem to have and an inspiring space for young athletes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because now it's like, look, I could be... And then all of the sports that are coming on board. My uncle Stanley Mitchell, we have this great conversation, right, weighing the value of Bahamians participating in international leagues,
mm-hmm.
like Bahamians in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
versus Bahamians fielding teams to compete in international competition, right? It's a great tension. And it creates a great environment for athletes. It's inspiring. There's so many opportunities, so many options. And now with the increase in the infrastructure of the sporting world mm-hmm. locally and the increase in technology, there are more sports that they can compete in. So I look at our rowing teams, right?
Yes.
Our rowing teams should be producing great track and field athletes because rowing requires stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Rowing requires breath work, breath control, and stamina. And I think that is some of the fundamentals for the track and field world.
Yes, and then we also have to give it up to our coaches too because straight across the board, you have now where that 90s crew,
yeah,
where all of them went to college and, you know, where the Division One, Division Two,
yeah.
any collegiate program, they saw a program where they saw something functioning, a heavy arsenal functioning
yeah.
where athletes were producing, and what they do is they mimic that and bring it back here to the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
Where athletes have to trust their coaches, believe in them, because we have a lot of local coaches here who are having success.
Yeah. We see it.
Yeah.
Every invitational, right? When I get to highlight an invitational and the results, it's just lone success.
Mm-hmm, lone success. Like, for example, you had Rema Ortega.
Yeah.
Nebraska. She ended up breaking Laverne Eves. And how long we know Laverne Eves' record was out there? She got everything on one throw. Olympic qualifier, broke the national record, broke the collegiate record, everything on one throw. So we also have to highlight her because
mm-hmm.
she's going in now to that competition as fifth in the world.
Right.
Ranking fifth in the world. So,
and I have a competition I won't put it in right now. The CARICOM Regional Fruit Picking Competition. Odebar could slew a mango from anywhere. She could take a dilly out of the tree with that javelin from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
That might be a good idea.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw the Baptist Federation reform. Let's swing them the other way. Yeah, swing one in and swing one out. Yeah. We saw the Baptist Federation reform their athletics group. I know the Anglican Diocese is reforming their athletics space. A regional athletics competition is also fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the CARICOM games, to be honest with you. I think that'll also put a spotlight on Caribbean athletics and, of course, Bahamian athletes as well.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Good morning, Mr. Longley. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I am good, well? Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Morning, okay, Mr. Gash.
Morning. How are you doing?
Do we have some names? Can we call off some names of people who have already qualified?
I think it's about six in total. There's Stephen Gardner, men's 400 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Wanya McCoy, men's 200 meters,
mm-hmm.
There's Anthony Strawn. She qualified in the 100 and the 2, but she shut down the season.
Mm-hmm.
There's three ladies in the women's 100 meter hurdles. Devon Charlton, Denisha Cartwright, and Charisma Taylor. And somebody else I'm missing?
Rema
Ortega in the women's javelin.
Okay.
So that's what, six? Seven? Six? Mm-hmm. About six or seven.
And then the mix.
And then the mix really, too. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you guys are B3As, athletics, mm-hmm. right? Swimming, basketball, are there any other disciplines that we are close to qualifying with?
See, I don't know if we're close to qualifying in any other disciplines, but there's always the universality rule.
Right.
We are a particular sport. If they don't have any athlete qualifying from that sport, and the IOC allows them a window where they could have one male and one female represent the country. I'm hopeful that we could get some swimmers qualified at their nationals. Their nationals is going to be next weekend.
Okay.
But just say if none of them do, then there's that window where they could have one or two swimmers represent the Bahamas.
All right. So the Bahamas Aquatics Federation's National Championships is set for June 20th through 24th.
Yes.
Now, I say that because I get this article here. I want to say thank you to the government.
I understand we're going in wrestling as well.
Wrestling? Okay.
Yeah. According to the president of the Bahamas Olympic Committee, they're sending one or two wrestlers.
So my cousin Hannah? Is it Shannon Hannah?
I'm not sure.
Oh, man. Anyway, I got a story. When I go to the break, I'm going to pull that story out of my phone. One of my Hannah cousins is doing well, but there's also a wrestling story, the local wrestling story I found. And then we got to talk about Sierra Breeze.
Yeah.
And
she's a former track athlete as well.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis Gray.
Yeah, Alexis Gray.
Right, right.
From the great St. John's College.
St. John's College.
The Jolly Green Giants.
From the Giants.
Oh, man. Look at that.
She was very good in school, so I'm not surprised at all that she ventured out. And make use of her talents.
Yeah, absolutely. Baha Bash is coming up in the later half of the show. I'll get to that. So I love this. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar practiced ballet to work on his agility, his body movement, spatial awareness, body control on the court. I love that athletes can shift, right? They're multidisciplinary and that they can take advantage of their athleticism in other avenues, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. BOC gets $150,000 from the government. It's an increase in money. How much of that y'all getting?
For track and field?
Yeah.
that's above our pay grade.
Okay, you need me, but y'all need me to have a cookout? Are you still seeking support? And how does the B3As fund the road to Paris, like these events? How do you fund it and in an Olympic year?
Well, we usually ask sponsors to come on, which we're still seeking.
Yeah.
Sponsors to come on to help with the actual trials. But in terms of taking the team to Paris, what we do is we present the team to the BOC, present them to the BOC, and then they ratify it. And they take over the team from there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They take over the team from there. All right. So look here, we still need sponsors.
We need a lot of sponsors.
Now, and I want to say it like
we
this.
We always need sponsors.
The athletes need sponsors.
Yes.
We want to give them the smoothest road to Paris possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've done the work for all y'all potential sponsors out there. They've done the work and they're worth the investment. All right. Anything else we need to know? What events do we have left on the calendar on the road to Paris? How many opportunities do athletes still have to qualify?
Oh, well, they have up until June 30th.
Right, June 30th.
Yeah.
But what are the events?
There's an NLI meet this weekend.
Okay.
The New Life Invitational on Father's Day.
Right, that was postponed due to weather, right?
It was postponed from Wednesday to Sunday.
Okay.
So it's going to be on Father's Day.
All right.
We expect a lot of Bahamian athletes to compete in that.
That's an opportunity to qualify.
Yes, that is also qualifying.
Good stuff.
There are a couple of meets in Canada that I know a lot of our athletes are going to. One is the Harry Jerome Classic. You know, I think Shaquem and a couple others will be up there.
All right.
And then there's our Nationals from the 26th to the 28th of June. And we expect probably a couple more to qualify there. You know, I think our Nationals are going to be very, very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody looking to hit that standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Demaria said earlier, if you don't hit that standard, you still could find yourself within the quota.
Right.
Within the rankings. You know, so it's going to be competitive. Should be exciting.
Which races are you all most excited about? You two, and then the B3As as a whole, or as an organization, they don't prioritize any race over the other.
No, because like I said, in those races, anything can happen.
Yes.
And for instance, athletes tend to step up to the rise of the occasion.
Okay.
During those events.
All right.
I would say if I have a personal preference, so I would like to see the kind of shape Terrence Jones is in. So I would want to see the man's 100 meters, him and Wanya McCoy going head to head. I think that's going to be a phenomenal battle. I think both of them could dip under 10 seconds. which would be the first time, I think, we would have a Bahamian dip under 10 seconds in the Bahamas.
In the Bahamas, right?
You know, I don't know if we've ever had that happen in the Bahamas. I know Derek Atkins did it abroad.
Okay.
You know, we had an American do it in the Bahamas, but we've never had a Bahamian do it in the Bahamas. So that would be very exciting. Love to see that.
All right. I think the, what is it, 100-meter hurdles?
Yes.
That's the race I want to watch. I figured we can see sparks on that track.
Yes, indeed.
All right. And which track are they competing on? Are they going to compete on the same track that the World Relays took place on?
No. They're going to be at the old Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. You know, yeah, the women's 100 meters, that's going to be exciting as well because Tanisha Cartwright ran a time this year, mm-hmm. even though it was venerated, it's the fastest time that was ever run by any Bahamian under any conditions.
Wow.
You know, 12.37. Devon hasn't even run that fast.
Now, that last name, Cartwright, she from Long Island or Eleuthera?
I'm not sure.
So we can find these things out. I think that's also interesting, right? Stevie's from the Berries, where the boys is run barefoot and burn the ground with their speed, right?
In Moss Island, yeah.
And so...
he would say Murphy Down.
He'd say Murphy Down, yeah. I feel like our family islands are producing phenomenal athletes, mm-hmm. and perhaps it's the condition in which their primary training takes place that establishes the culture that drives them to the top. But during the Bahama Games, at that time... A year before the Olympics, were you guys, was the B3As, identifying potential qualifiers all the way back then? Like, could you see the stars in development?
Yeah, see what tends to happen. But on that note, that's why from that, let's go far further back than that, from that age group, nationals and trials and all that that we do is every 2 years.
Okay.
We usually tend to see athletes who come out of that excelling straight forward because at the age group trials and the age group international competition, you do a multi-type event.
Okay.
7 events, sometimes 5, under 13, under 15.
All right.
And what it does, it gives the athlete, it don't pigeonhole them. It gives them a multiple events that they could see where they could progress.
Right.
And then coaches look at that.
And see where they should focus their energy.
Yeah, on that athlete.
Man, this is awesome. So in the national sport discussion, right? Like, I thought that was one of the most important, but one of the most exciting conversations, right? Because at first you'd say, track and field, it got to be track and field. But then you explore sailing, and then you explore basketball. The track and field world is just phenomenal. It's so broad. If you're not in it, you may not see it, how full it is, all the meets, all the opportunities to train, all the things that are taking place within it. Y'all have your own television program yet? Why the B3As don't have a television program or a regular podcast so that the wider public could understand where the money is being invested, where, how and why the time and the resources are being invested the way that they are?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, man.
I throw it over to Mr. Yeah. Longley. That's a great idea.
We have some things in the works. You know, it's complicated. It's a complicated process. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you're talking track and field, you're talking youth, junior, senior,
mm-hmm.
you know, primary school, high school, collegiate, professional. So it's a broad base to cover. But, I'm a supporter of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a huge supporter of Finlayson's show, Hawk Show, which is the only track show on radio. You know, hopefully we can bring that back in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about the things that are in the works, and I think we can make it happen.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, let me get the title. I want to read this title properly. The Bahamas Association of Athletic Associations, Kids Athletics and Junior and Senior National Championships taking place June 26th through 28th.
Yes.
Is there a cost for the event?
Yes. First of all, gates open at 2:30
p.m.
Yep, 2:30 p.m.
Okay.
And then the cost for the events, you know, all kids is they are $5 and adults, $7, and I think VIP is $15.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There'll be a concession stand.
Yes,
I need to bring my own stacks. Should I bring my own cowbells?
Yeah, you can bring your own cowbells.
Awesome. We have any color codes? Are we aqua on Monday? Yellow, gold on Tuesday. Anything? Any special details like that?
No, just come out and support the athletes.
Now I got a question here. I think it's an interesting question. The texter says, Have you seen an increase? Well, I'm going to reword it. They're saying they've seen an increase in Haitian, Bahamian, and Jamaican Bahamian athletes, young athletes, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're asking, has the Jamaican culture of athletics, because they're big, big, big on athletics, and the Haitian culture of athletics, has that added to the environment, created better performances from our students? Like, is an infusion of that culture or the competition driving better performances?
That's a part of it, but I think it's more regional and global now. You know, like, okay, athletes, they could go on their phones and basically watch what happens at these world championships and Olympics. You know, just don't have to be the Jamaican culture doing well. They could see our own athletes doing
well as well.
You know, we have a lot of athletes on the world stage. So they could go on their phones, they could pull up a Devon Charlton on YouTube running in the Diamond League.
And watch it.
Winning the 100 meters.
So the same way football players, basketball players watch tape as a part of their training, right? You mm-hmm. watch tape, watch mm-hmm. yourself play, watch your opponents play.
Mm-hmm.
In the track and field world, that's a part of your culture as well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Big part of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Track and field is very popular here in the Bahamas, you know, probably even more so than Jamaica per capita. You know, I mean, you know, when you look at the amount of people that we have and the amount of people that Jamaica have,
mm-hmm.
you know, any day you could go up at Thomas J. Robinson Stadium and see
athletes training
hundreds
or
of
competing.
Athletes training.
Okay.
You know, trying to improve themselves.
All right. You so know, parents, if you think your child has potential in track and field, get them out there. Let them soak up the atmosphere. Let them become a part of the culture and see what's happening and how they will fit into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if they're not sure what club to go to or which coach to go to, they could bring them to us, you know, the BAAAs.
All right.
Or just come up by the track, see them. We could assess their talents and look at their talents, and we could determine which club would be best for them.
All right, so this means that I need to tweak my social media algorithms. Producer, check that call and see if that's Mr. Sawyer for me. I need to tweak my social media algorithms because I'm watching basketball reels. They're coming through all day.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, what are some of the local organizations that we can find on social media to follow? I want to follow Bahamian Track and Field. I want to follow B3As. What are the Facebook groups? What are the pages? How can people start connecting?
I can't speak much for the other sports.
Well, no, just track and field.
Yeah,
just track and field.
Well, the BAAAs Facebook page is there.
Okay.
I think we have up to about 10,000 followers now.
Okay.
You know, so we're looking for that number to grow. But it's on social media. We try to keep it as active as possible. You know, the hot thing, like I said right now, is the Nationals coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on that note, you know, we know a lot of people be to work Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but you can come straight from work. Come up by the track. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's going to probably go until about 9, 10 o'clock at night. You know, the kids are going to be off from school. So, flood the stadium, flood the stands. You know, let's watch our world-level athletes compete. We have athletes from as young as 14, 15 competing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's going to be tremendous. Just come out and support.
At the risk of causing people to get in trouble, you just tell your boss, Aaron Green, say it's potentially a national holiday. I have to go to the stadium to find out, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see if we could play hooky. Because this isn't any ordinary year. This is the road to Paris.
Yeah, road to Paris. Yes.
I got a call on the line. Is that you, Mr. Sawyer? Producer, is that you, Mr. Sawyer?
No, this is not Mr. Sawyer.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good stuff.
I know we are already big about athletes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask your guest there, what about the men 100 meters the U.S. and Jamaica, but would you think Aaron Knight can top Noel Lyles?
Okay, then, Sheldon, the Bahamas is not in the 100 meters, so yet. Let me rephrase the question, caller. He said Bahamas ain't in the 100 meters yet. Of the Jamaican and the Americans running the 100 meter, who you all think can take it?
I mean, at the Olympics?
Yeah.
I can say Terrence Shona, Wanya McCoy, I local. I believe they're going to qualify. But as it stands now, you know, the hardest racer in the 100 meters this year, who has the world lead? It's not Lyles, eh?
Oblique Seville. Yeah.
That's right. That's right in Jamaica.
Mm.
Right. So he has the world lead. He beat Lyles in that race.
Yes, he did.
You know, so he's definitely a name to watch out for.
Yeah.
You know, you got the defending champion from Italy. You know, the Asians are producing top 100 meter runners now. You know, you got Zanel Hughes from Great Britain.
Okay, I just wanted to stick a pin. Who? I just saying.
Pick one.
As soon as Asians started locking their hair, as soon as they started getting afros and locking, I knew they was going to do something in track and field. I just say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They've been advancing.
They have been advancing.
Oh, this is good. This is good stuff.
I like Obliqueville.
One more.
Yes, sir. Go on.
The American trial starts tomorrow, right?
Yes, if the American trial start tomorrow.
No, I think it's the 21st, if I'm not mistaken.
Or the 20th. Oh, yeah. That's the next week. Next week, yeah. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I think.
So you take in the whole rest of the track season off from work, sir? Because you look like you watching every meet.
Well, I hope to God spare life.
Blessings.
And if it doesn't rain on Sunday, I'll be out there.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Have a great day, sir. Have a great day. Okay. Antonique Strawn. Qualified for the Olympics, but has decided to pull out for the season due to injury.
Injury, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, as a selfish Bahamian, I can say, Antonique, put some Tiger Balm on your shin, wrap it up with some Aloes, keep your legs up, be going to the Olympics. This is a special year. Antonique has proven herself to us. I mean, there's no doubt. Mm. She's qualified. She's proven herself to us. But does Antonique have the stamina to perform for another 4 years? For the 2028 Olympics?
It's going to be a stretch. I think she'll be about 35 in 4 years. So that's normally about the time when a lot of athletes start to wind down their careers. Mm-hmm. But her missing this one, I think, will be motivation for her to want to make a grand.
A big comeback story. Because yeah, I feel they would have made that decision on a team based on looking at 2028.
Okay.
To say, hey, this is the time you need to get back on track. And get things back in order.
Focus on these injuries and healing.
Yeah.
Now, in your experience, your expertise, your observation, are you pushing athletes to take advantage of every moment? Like we see with Jazz Chisholm, right? Mm-hmm. We all celebrated Jazz Chisholm's phenomenal start in the league. He's still doing great things. He's still an asset to the Miami Marlins. But I think many of us feel like he went too hard to prove himself and caused a catastrophic injury that has altered his level of competition. Now, mind you, he's still playing in the majors. We're not diminishing that. Would you push an athlete to take advantage? Would you push Anthony to take advantage of this opportunity? Or is it, or any athlete, or is it on a really on a case-by-case basis?
I would say case-by-case. Because it's all, because see, a big thing in sports now, you know, is mental. And you wanna really protect that mental space.
Yeah.
Because an athlete, for example, who used to win it, and then you put them in a situation where they have a nagging injury and they start coming middle of the park, end of the park, that could take a toll on them mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be real careful how we treat that athlete, and that's knowing the athlete too, the coach, physio, manager, knowing the athlete. So I think they did a real sit down in terms of how they was going to approach this injury.
Absolutely. Because we get jealous. We selfish. You know, the crowd, the spectators.
Yeah.
Especially like when you're on the road to Paris, on the road to, you know, Seoul, we sometimes forget that it's not about us. I mean, it's about us as a whole. But it's about the athlete. And they have to make these decisions for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Because you know, when all of us grew up back then, it's not, and it's a different generation.
Mm-hmm.
We used to travel outside and do a lot of activities and hitting people last and saying sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But now, different generation. So I think mental is very, and you've heard a lot of athletes talk about it now. They're getting sports psychology sessions because it's a tough situation. You could be physically ready, but mentally,
right?
Yeah,
and I think that's what we saw in Shikari Richardson, right? In the United States of America.
A couple of years back.
Yeah, when she hit the scene, like she knew that she had the physical talent to do it. But then we all knew that sort of mentally and psychologically, she wasn't quite there yet to maximize her physical talent. But my, look at how she's grown. Look at how she's evolved. Look at how she's come into herself. And I think we all happy for that, even though at some point we going to be competitors, right?
Yes.
It would be the Bahamas versus the U.S., but I think we're all really, really grateful to see her mature and come into her power and her potential. Now, is she likely to run the 100-meter hurdles, or that's not her discipline?
Shikari,
yeah.
No, just 100.
Just 100.
200. Yeah, 100 and 200.
Now, who you think is the better athlete? The 100-meter flat or the 100-meter hurdle?
I'm kind of biased because I used to hurdle.
Okay.
Because those obstacles...
Yeah, I was at hurdle.
Very, it's, and that's all about rhythm. It's like dancing, trying to get over those obstacles. A lot of people, from the development side, a lot of coaches try to throw athletes in the hurdle races saying, oh, they can't run. So they just throw them over the hurdles. But no, hurling is more than that, where it's a rhythm you have to get, and it's a step pattern, and it's more physics, aerodynamics.
Right.
You have to approach the event like that.
Right. And talk about a head game. Your head has to be clear, right? It's almost like your brain has to talk to your body without you realizing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what a fantastic time to be alive, man. Okay, producer, is that Mr. Sawyer? We don't know. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Mr. Sawyer.
Well, happy to see you anyway.
This could be a Sawyer in the future.
Absolutely.
But good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, put on your headphones. You there?
And morning to your producer, Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Bahamas
mm-hmm.
and the U.S. going to dominate the France Olympic.
Yeah? The Bahamas and the U.S.?
Bahamas and the U.S.
Okay.
Well, you got two hurdles. So we're even going to do hurdles.
Three. Mm-hmm.
Then you got Stephen Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
And got Maisha Nick Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right?
Yeah. She Miller Weibo.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So that for capita, mm-hmm. that's a domination right there.
Absolutely.
And all them have potential of gold, silver, and bronze.
Right. Absolutely.
You mentioned the 100 hurdles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And two. I mentioned two.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we have Charlton, Cartwright, and Taylor.
And I believe there's a javelin too, right?
Yeah, yes. Potiphar.
Yeah. That's going to be a goal, that possibility.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
And she could throw from here to Russia. The Ukraine could try, yeah. All right, guys.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. I was trying not to talk politics today, Pumpkin Eater. I'm not going to be tempted either. So I have a text that it says, immigrants do have an impact on sports culture. Imagine just this week, the U.S. cricket team, yes, U.S. and cricket, beat Pakistan in the T20 Worlds. Added to that, Major League Cricket started in the U.S. in mid-2023. Cricket has some of the highest paid athletes in the world. I'm going to bet that the start of Major League Cricket in the U.S. will have a big impact on cricket culture in the Caribbean, including the Bahamas. Now, instead of basketball, you might see some young Bahamians walking around with cricket bats. Okay, that's an interesting text, but I mean, you're right. Mm-hmm. Immigrant culture mm-hmm. does positively impact sports culture, mm-hmm. Especially if your migrants are coming from a place where sports culture is dominant,
mm-hmm.
right? And that particular sport culture is dominant. I don't know if we can see young men walking around with cricket bats, but there's been a resurgence in cricket recently, right? I want to say that the national sport before it became sloop sailing. Cricket is big regionally, and big regionally in the same way that soccer, football is big in the rest of the world. It's more than just athletics. It's also social politics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to see a resurgence in the Bahamas. And the texter here says, cricket is boring. No, texter. Cricket is not boring. You just don't understand the game. That's all.
We have a culture where we're very Americanized. Mm-hmm. So whatever the U.S. tend to partake in and excel in sports, mm-hmm. or whatever sport, we tend to follow that. We catch on easily to that. And if you could see Major League Cricket opening up in the U.S., that could be big for our society in terms of our young cricket players. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen it happen with baseball, basketball, track and field, and everything else.
I mean, I don't think y'all understand. The U.S. beating Pakistan is like the Pistons making their way from the 15th spot in the Eastern Conference and winning the finals.
Not only that, the U.S. tied Brazil in soccer.
What?
They tied Brazil 1-1 in soccer the other day. That's major. Mm-hmm. So even soccer is picking up in the U.S. You know, so that can have a positive impact on us as well.
Absolutely.
You know.
Caller, you on the line?
Boy, listen, I can't believe that I got a call here and hear Sheldon Longley's voice on this day, this 14th day of June in the year of our Lord.
You should be congratulating me from now, eh? Let me hear it.
This is indeed a potential last day of the NBA Finals, which has been very boring. Whole playoffs have been boring. Whole playoffs should be sponsored by...
Good morning to you, Mrs. Zoya.
Why didn't you tell me
that Longley was a Celtics fan? I wouldn't have bring him in the studio.
You can't have him in anything.
Aaron, I pick all my teams in 83. Celtics, Yankees, and Dolphins.
Man, me and Mr. Cash could have continued this conversation for the B3As. Anyway.
This is indeed the NBA Finals. I think the NBA Finals should be sponsored by United Healthcare with all the injuries that have happened in the playoffs that have made this.
Stop it, man.
This run so easy because, you know, all Celtics fans can tell me, we ain't had Kristaps Porzingis. You only had Porzingis last year and made the conference finals, and then happened the year before and made the finals. Yeah, so he ain't a real factor.
But Dallas is actually more healthier than us, though. Dallas is more healthier than us. Ain't nobody talking about that.
Well, what I was about to say is, I was able to swallow the Timberwolves being beat by the Mavericks. It hurt. I almost fell out. But I could accept it. I didn't even say they cheat. I almost did, but I didn't say they cheat. I cannot believe that the Celtics are up 3-0 against that Mavericks that decimated the Western Conference.
Me neither. Like, the Mavericks come out there and they just lay the duck egg. Like, I don't understand, man.
People underestimated the Celtics. It ain't nothing to do with Dallas.
It's just about matchups.
You know, you gotta give the Celtics credit.
Okay, you know? So it's about matchups, you say, Cash. Kyrie and what the boy name?
Luka.
Kyrie and Luka.
I thought they were shot anywhere on the court, and Kyrie just—I don't know—he just playing around, man. Like he's playing with his food and dancing with the ball, and it's pretty and everything, and not all shots falling, man. Just get back to basics.
But he had a great game in the last one
and pull up.
Yeah, just put it on the backboard and drop it in.
Nothing fancy.
Yeah, but he had an awesome game. He had 35 points.
Now I look in.
At the percentage of shots, man. Like, bruh, that's not necessary.
But that's how you say credit the defense.
You think that's a good matchup? You think Denver could beat Boston?
Yeah.
But it's just that Denver had a bad matchup with Minnesota.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Denver would have destroyed Boston.
Eric, you're in denial, man. Boston is the best team in the league this year.
Let me tell you how much I didn't read the Celtics this season. What's the name of your phenomenal player who also have like 7 PhDs? Jaylen Brown.
He has improved tremendously. On both sides of the ball. He is a huge reason why we're at the point now.
He has to get the MVP.
I was ready to trade with Jalen. After last season, after he didn't show up in game 7, when we came back from 3-0 and he didn't show up in game 7 when Tatum went down, I was ready to trade him, to be quite honest. I was upset when we gave him that $300 million contract. But I didn't see...
What would you mean $300 million?
Yeah.
For how many years?
Yeah, but...
For 10 years?
He got a 3-year extension. No, sorry, a 5-year extension. 5-year extension.
$60 million a year?
Yeah. He was the first to get that. And then AD came after him, right? But I didn't think he was worth it. But I didn't see the development that he brought this year.
Yeah.
This year he's improved by leaps and bounds.
Because I tell you what I see on the court. See, sometimes I'm a woman watching, like just a woman, not a woman sports fan, but just a woman watching. And I say, Jalen versus Kyrie Irving. They two thinking men. They're two, I don't want to say scholars, but they're two thinkers, right? Two intellectuals going up against each other. And I thought Kyrie was going to just decimate that boy. But, Sawyer, what's the likelihood that the Mavericks can pull out game 4, take it to 3-1?
Boys, well, I really hope they do. Like, just extend the finals, man, because the conference finals was a sweep on one end and a gentleman sweep on the next.
Yeah.
Like this playoffs hasn't been really exciting. I mean, it's been exciting for Celtics fans.
That's what y'all get for dissing Draymond Green.
Y'all don't want no exciting league.
Y'all want a soft, let LeBron shoot, don't foul him league.
Call it for what it is. Lakers just don't want us to get this number 18 because they don't want us past them. That's all it is. That's the main reason why Eric upset.
I really check in with y'all. park the Lakers in Washington. Because remember, I'm a Braun fan. I know Laker fan. But as soon as LeBron leaves, and hopefully he leaves this summer, what I said, I back hating on the Lakers.
Okay, hold on. So at this point right now, Celtics have 17 championships and the Lakers have 17 championships?
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
And LeBron, that's what you did with my Lakers?
Well, LeBron bought him a title, so he can't complain about LeBron.
I mean, but only one.
Right. That's all right. It's still something.
Not this year.
Well, that's more than none.
That's more than none.
Okay.
You know, so he brought them something.
I've been watching this critique of Bronny. Bronny James.
Yeah.
Right? Does he have a healthy sense of self and confidence?
Of course he does. Now he doesn't belong in the NBA, but he will be drafted because of his daddy.
Okay. Now, should he tell them, should he refuse it? Should he refuse it, stay in college?
For the money to be made by the NBA when LeBron plays with or even against his son on the court, it's too much to pass up.
So is that now the culture of the league and sort of the draft? It's better to train and get better in the league than train and get better outside the league, hoping for a chance.
That's how they pay you now. They pay you based on potential. They pay you based on what you've done. Like, you don't play 3-4 years on a $2 or $3 million contract. Now your first contract, rookie contract, is at least $10 million.
What?
If you're a lottery pick, like your contract is at least $10 million over the first 3 years. Man, that's amazing.
It is. Cash.
No, but I think the thing for Bronny, and I was talking to someone the other day, I think he'll develop more in the league as opposed to college.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have better trainers, better all around, and he has, you know, he'll go back and forth to the G League playing like that, and I think he'll develop more.
Okay.
So it's good to see what he'll look like in 2 years as opposed to going back to college. I think he didn't sabotage with that whatever school he go to, if he go back to college, I don't think it'd be a good situation.
Okay. All right.
Oh, trust me, he is not going to the G League just because his name is James.
No. When I say the G League, I mean back and forth.
Better to be in the league than out of the league.
He ain't back and forth. He can play. Even if he plays only garbage time minutes at the end of a blowout win or loss, in the beginning, I say the first maybe 30 games of the year, he can do that.
Is the league entertaining James Sr. playing with James Jr.? They entertaining that? All of the trades, you know, all the things that may have to happen for that to happen?
Well, LeBron can opt out of his contract at the end of the month. And all signs point to that. It's based on where his son is going to be drafted.
And he got good credit. He'll get picked up by any team.
Wherever Bronny is drafted, guaranteed. So it's a LeBron James jersey to get him.
Let me ask you all a question.
Unless it's Boston.
Is this Bronny situation the sort of same as Caitlin Clark, where people are saying the marketing aspect of these decisions is greater than the sort of talent aspect of these decisions?
Well, in that respect, but it wouldn't be based on the fact that Bronny James is a once in a lifetime talent. You know, it's going to be based on the Caitlin Clark effect, that people are going to want to see him play with his father, because that has never happened in the NBA. Because of the amount of years that you could play ball in the NBA versus the amount of years it takes for a player to have a child and the child develop before that player retires.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to Caitlin Clark. People in the U.S. are upset that Caitlin Clark has not been selected for the U.S. women's basketball team. The organization responsible for the selection say, we don't make these decisions based on marketability of the game and the player. We make it on talent and a whole bunch of other things. What say all of you in the room? Would you have put Caitlin on the U.S. Olympic team if it was your decision, or has the U.S. Basketball Association responsible made a sound and sensible decision?
Well, they didn't put Kobe Bryant on a 96 team, right? Did they? No, right?
No, I don't think so.
No.
So why would they put Caitlin Clark there?
What I would have done, I would have had tryouts. I would have had tryouts just like any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Caitlin Clark, I don't think she's one of the 12 best players in the league, in the U.S., right. Yeah. So I think they're justified in that decision, but you could also make the point that Diana Taurasi is no longer one of the 12 best players. You know,
okay.
So they're contradicting themselves a bit when they say they don't make decisions based on marketability and they make it on talent.
Go on, Cash.
No, see, and then you gotta remember the media look at the team makeup. We haven't heard nothing from Brittany Griner in ages.
Yeah, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And you already have a couple of bigs, Asia Wilson and stuff like that, but Brittany Griner on the team. So it gives conversation.
Yeah.
you know, so.
Absolutely. All right. If Jonquel Jones was an American, would you put her on the U.S. basketball team?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good yes. stuff. Good stuff. We are almost all out of time. And I say almost all out of time. I'm a sprinter too, producer. Bahamian wrestler Kalia to compete at Baja Bash. The Bahamas continues to expand its sports tourism brand.
Rockland is back.
Yes. And Kalia also... known as Kalia Capri, also known as Sierra Breeze, will be performing. And we already saw some glimpses of her in the ring at the Women of Wrestling Superheroes event that took place, I think, 2 weekends ago. She competed against Penelope Pink. Wrestling is back, not just y'all Olympic wrestlers. The real wrestling, yeah, the Tyree Pride wrestling, the Hulk Hogan tear off your shirt wrestling. Is back. Y'all stay
Macho Man.
Ah, there you go. Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Ultimate Warrior. The girls can tear off their shirt too.
No. We good. We good today. It ain't that type of wrestling.
Okay.
It was a pleasure to talk NBA sports with you today, Mr. Sawyer, Mr. Longley. Somebody say you got your broom in the studio, hey.
Oh, yeah.
You bring your broom to work, hey. He's working on it early. 8:30 tonight.
Broom, rake, everything.
Give him 6 games, please.
No, man, we gotta finish this as quickly as possible.
No, because you scared. Because he's scared they can lose. He's scared they can come back and win 4 straight on him.
Because they're ready for baseball. That's why.
Jaylen Brown gotta do something at MIT.
That's all.
Yeah. Then you gotta go back to work and teach them the insurance. Yeah. Anyway, this has been a wonderful day. Road to Paris. We're on it with all of the Bahamian athletes. Road to the NBA Finals may end tonight. Thank you, Mr. Cash. Thank you, Mr. Longley. Thank you, Mr. Sawyer. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
As always.
Thank you.
Well, look here. The neighborhood I live in could be alive tonight if the Celtics win this championship. You guys have a great weekend. It's Father's Day. Take your daddy out to watch the game or treat him to a football platter. I mean, yeah, football platter for the basketball game. They don't do them platters for basketball. I don't know why. Fix your daddy up. It's Father's Day. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Thank you.
Stay informed with the Nassau Guard and your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The Nassau Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round. Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The Nassau Guardian. We've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.